Ladies and gentlemen, good day. Welcome to another episode of Rise from the Ashes podcast. And I am really excited today to introduce a special guest. Her name is Dr. Amanda, and she has such a powerful story behind her. She's a coach. She is an entrepreneur. She also runs a podcast for herself. But as always, because I'm dyslexic, I'm going to let her introduce herself because that's the person who speaks about them the best. And Amanda, please say hello to the world and tell them who you are and what you do.
Hello, world. I'm dyslexic too. I don't really ever share that. I don't know what it shows up for you as, but it's an interesting thing. I keep meeting entrepreneurs who are dyslexic. I'm like, huh, maybe there's something in the brain that causes that to be the case. I like to always start with inspiration and have people question for themselves. When was the last time today you thought about money? When did you think about disempowerment? When you wake up in the morning, what are the thoughts that are running through your mind? Because we have 60,000 thoughts a day, 60,000, which just blows my mind in and of itself. And 90% of them are the same as yesterday, and up to 85% of them are negative. So the reason that I love to work with people on power is because we often have disempowered thinking and disempowered ways of being, which cause us to lead miserable lives and feel like we have no control. And so my whole business and everything that I do is about teaching law of attraction strategies to help people really thrive in what they're creating in business. So I do law of attraction for entrepreneurs. I love to help people get clear, get aligned, get focused, and feel that powerful sense of, I have a magic wand to create what I choose to create in a place of fulfillment and really freedom of choice. So we'll start there. My journey started in the pit, and now I get to teach people how to get out of the pit and then really thrive and build a life and business from that upward spiral growth curve.
I love that. And I like the way you mentioned law of attraction, because it has many elements of what it actually is. It's too, a lot of people teach it as too generic. The actual nuts and bolts of it's quantum physics. It's using your own energy, your thought patterns, vibration frequency, and also a lot of universal consciousness to collaborate and hone in on what you want. Is that, am I correct in
absolutely
the overview of that? Yes.
Yeah. I think that it can be a kind of a buzzword, and a lot of people don't really understand it. And it's amazing when you do, because you realize, oh, I'm always living by the law of attraction, whether I'm conscious of it or not. So I might as well have it benefit me and benefit the people I work with. And so, it's state of being is what you're talking about. It's really your state of being. So it's your feelings, your thoughts, your beliefs, your decisions, your actions are all wrapped up in law of attraction.
How did you stumble across doing this? It's not something that you just walk into. It's a calling, right, in a way. How did that happen for you?
Yeah, it's been such a fun journey. I would say fun, challenging, roller coaster ride. It, for me, entrepreneurship started when I was on the floor crying one night. So here I am. I left my 15-year marriage having an affair, and my next relationship wasn't working. So he had moved out and our basement was empty. And I was sitting, like, literally laying on the floor crying and just going, oh my God, my life is a mess. I was already on food stamps, 3 kids in grad school as a single mom. And I'm going, wow, I am really bad at relationships and I have no money and my life is falling apart. And I was scanning my history to think, who can help me or who can I blame? And as I was scanning the history, I thought, whoa, in every scenario, I'm the common denominator. And it really awakened me to, I've got to change. I've got to do something different. No one's coming to save me. This is on me. I'm totally alone. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I got to figure this out. And it was in that moment at, I wouldn't have used these words at the time, but really I made a declaration, and it was, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have a better relationship and more money. And I was stuck and scared. And so I started listening to podcasts, and everything, my brain started to change. I started to teach differently and relate to people differently and parent differently. And it led me, one step led me to the next. And it was so amazing, because also while this was happening, my graduate department had this national news fallout where professors were leaving the department. And I thought, ooh, I don't want to be a professor. This does not look like a fun path. And so I finished my degree. And then I thought, all of these people that I'm listening to podcasts by are coach type entrepreneurs. And so I'm going to take the leap and become a coach because I really loved teaching in university. And so I took the leap, and that first year of business, I went food stamps to six figures. And then every step I've taken, I just keep getting led down the road. I tell people, I love this quote by Rumi. He says, as you take a step on the way appears. And that's really how the law of attraction works. When you're clear about what you want and you take steps in the direction, the way will appear for you. And so steps just kept appearing, and it led me down this road to where I am today, having my own podcast that has a really wide reach and helping entrepreneurs learn the rules of the game of life. And so you're right. When I started, I had heard of the law of attraction, but I never thought I'm going to become a law of attraction coach. I just thought I want to help myself get unstuck. And as I started learning for myself, I had this drive and, like you said, this calling to teach other people. And so it started with a wealth building mastermind. And then it just, that led to another thing and another thing. And here I am today getting to have a really fun business that I love, because it's amazing to watch people at the light bulbs go off and unblock those parts that have kept them stuck for so long, even at high levels. Work with people that don't have a ton of money to multimillionaires, and we all get stuck. So it's been a really amazing journey.
I love what you just said then about learning and the experience and taking something from that rock bottom moment of that basement scenario in your case, and the husband being unfaithful. But you've empowered yourself. But not only that, you've set yourself a standard, a platform for others to follow, and you're helping them do it, which is amazing. Can you tell what makes your company unique? What makes your stamp on it going, this is who I am, this is how I show up? And can you share a story that actually proves that or sustains that within your experiences?
It's an interesting question when we say, what makes you unique? Because I never know what to say. I always go, I'm unique because I'm uniquely me. And it's everyone's unique. How do we label that? I would say something I love about myself is that I'm really big-hearted and big thinking at the same time. And I'm really good at taking spiritual and universal laws and turning them into practical, actionable steps. So it's like I bridge this gap between business and spiritual. And that's pretty rare. I haven't found that in that many people. Sure, it exists. And yet I think everybody has that capacity as well. And so I always think of building a business as a spiritual growth journey, because it unearths all your shadow parts. As you build a business, you face all of your deep, dark fears. You face your limited thinking. You face your money blocks. It's wild what business brings up. And so I love the entry point of working with someone being, hey, they come to me to get help with a business, and realistically, they need help with transforming their spirit. And so I love that. I love that I see that and I can intuit where people are stuck and help them take the next best step for them. And it's unique to each person because it depends on their starting points and what their thinking and their mindset is.
I like what you're describing there is channeled work. And the concept of being a channel, I'm a channel, I channeled various works, one of them being cosmic law. So it's 74 cosmic laws. And I'll send you it. It's public.
Awesome. Work. I can't wait to read it.
But it's applying what you just said. It's applying the spiritualistic side of things, the intuition, the energy aspects into a business setting. That's influence. So you said you didn't know how to show up or to answer that question. You did very well, because you're being authentic by sharing who you are. Many people struggle with that because they're afraid of who they are and their own power, firstly, and then how to express it in a non-egoic way. We're all channels, we're all conduits of information at different levels and different access points. People call it mediumship. People call it transmediumship. Whatever you have a name for it, we're all a receiver. And also Joe Dispenza speaks about how to use it and change your energy systems, change your life. You've done that, and you're a perfect example of how to do it on the conscious level and business structure level. Is there anybody that's helped you or influenced you in doing what you're doing today? Is there a model, a role model you've had that has gone, I like to be that person?
Many. My very first main mentor that I would say just completely blew my life up in the best ways was Dr. John DeMartini. So to me, he's one of the greatest teachers of all time. I love his work. I think it's very it's universal law oriented and it's brain transformation and trauma transformation. People get really stuck in their victimhood. Yes. And balancing out your perceptions and realizing that everything is perfect as it is, to me, is so groundbreaking. And what everybody needs to own radical responsibility in law of attraction, where you go, oh, I'm the creator of my reality. So whatever my imbalanced perspectives are going to influence what I attract. And that's not the way he teaches it, but that's like my overlay on it after I worked with him and then got all those certifications. I am an avid learner. So I take a step on the way and the way appears. So it's I find a teacher and then learn what I can and then find the next teacher and then find the next teacher. Some great influences, Dr. John DeMartini, Dispenza, absolutely. I started meditating when I ran into Dispenza and that completely transformed my whole life. I'd say it opened me up to the channeling world where I realized, oh, I guess I've been channeling my whole life when I meditate and connecting me in that spiritual way. I do that really well in meditation. Yeah. And so meditation and Abraham Hicks, huge mm-hmm. follower of Abraham Hicks and law of attraction, the way that they teach Debbie Ford. So she's the mainstreamer of shadow work. Ah, so many good ones. So I'd say those are some that stand out immediately.
See, what I've noticed within doing this is everybody has a role model, several role models, but what they've done is added their own light or own authenticity to that. And that makes you that person. People, you said, I don't know how to explain myself. Who am I? You just did. And this is why I love going into this, because you're doing it subconsciously. And that's important to remember. Courage and resilience are also a huge part of entrepreneurial life. Is there anything that is showing up for you in respect resilience? And how would you define resilience for yourself?
Resilience. That's such an interesting one. I was born premature and in an incubator for the first 2 months of my life. And so I'm like, that's resilience. The first thing that popped into my mind, which was interesting. So I think in my life, I've always been a resilient person who has decided to, I would say at first it was survive through it. And now it's thrive through it. Resilience is a choice. Maybe not when you're younger. Sometimes you are resilient and you persevere through the things that are happening to you. And so I think for me in that evolutionary consciousness, it goes from resilience might be looking like reacting and surviving into responding and choosing. And now I get to choose to be resilient. And in the entrepreneurial endeavors, it's fun because there are always challenges to be resilient and see what you're made of. I love to see what I'm made of. Like I take on big challenges all the time just to see what I'm made of and test myself at the next level. Not because it used to be, I think, because I wanted to prove myself because I didn't think I was good enough. Now it's, ooh, let's have fun and see how far I can expand. And so it's that evolution of resiliency across a life course from, I'd say, a disempowered place to a more empowered place.
So, you know, resilience to disempowered to empowered. For you, what's the difference between courage and resilience?
It's interesting. I wouldn't typically equate the two. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on what you're creating from a law of attraction perspective. Because to me, courage is often you're going to do something even though you might feel afraid. And when like fear isn't something I resonate with much anymore, like fear doesn't exist in me. I don't get afraid easily because I'm not aligned in that frequency anymore. Mm-hmm. And so courage to me, I don't feel that courageous because there's no fear for me to overcome. Whereas similarly with resilience, it's like, they're not really words I would necessarily use to describe myself. Yes, I've been resilient through time and it's such a choice-based thing now. Courageousness is just such a part of my being, but it's past that.
I like that. The reason I ask that question is simply because some people have a comparison of fear and that shows up for them in different ways. Fear is often felt or fear is often viewed as a negative. It's actually not, because you need the fear to know, firstly, you're alive. Secondly, to overcome something and drive you forward, knowing that something is impossible or possible. Afterwards, how do you identify with or how do you define the impossible versus what you thought was impossible, but now becomes possible. That makes sense.
Yeah, let's start here. I think it's interesting. I always teach that we live in two states of being, either fear or love. Those are really the only two states that we can be in. And I think of fear as the future expectation of awful results. Mm-hmm. So you're projecting into the future something that hasn't happened and putting a twist on it that is fear-based, unless, of course, a lion's actually chasing you, then yes, be afraid. The thing is that 99% of the time, we're not actually in a state of survival threats. Mm-hmm. And yet we make up stories in our mind all the time about fear. The way I think of it is from that perspective. I think I go like, how do you create a reality based on inspiration instead of fear? And mm-hmm. most people create their future reality based on fear, because they're afraid they're going to lose something. They're afraid they're not going to be good enough. They're afraid that they're not going to get what they want. They're afraid they're going to die before they can make it all happen. And most people live in that state most of the time. And they create their future, their present, their future based on a past that has caused them to have some sort of fear. And I go, how can you create from a place of just total inspiration and see what's possible from that place? Yeah. And so when you're in a state of fear, most things are very hard and not necessarily impossible, but much harder to reach because you're creating resistance in the moment, which causes the future that you desire to be attracted to be pushed away from you. And so for me, I go, let's be aware of our fears, because pretending they're not there, it doesn't work either. You create resistance that way. So you go, what are my fears and how can I reframe them so that I can create a future of inspiration or even a present moment of inspiration, because you manifest from your present moment.
You said then about manifesting from the present moment, and it's done by a bit of total awareness of who you are at your core and raising that vibration. You mentioned fear. There is only two fears. One is the fear of not being loved, and one is the fear of not being worthy for something. Everything yeah. else is a concept of and derived from them two places. And if yeah. you can track it back, you can change the origin of it, change the belief systems.
Yeah.
But how do you go in from, I'm scared from jumping out of a plane? You're not scared from jumping. You're scared for the possible outcome of something going wrong. But what if you could trust, complete trust and love within yourself? That's the place you create from. That's the power, as you so put it earlier, that power place where love exists, where every possibility, every dimensional reality exists. Every frequency is there in that trust, love, unconditional place of self-worth, self-authenticity, self-expression. So when you talk about an inspirational movement, if you could today, what inspirational movement would you start from that place of love?
I have serendipity. This morning in my meditation, I did such a fun one, and it was an inner child meditation, and it was seeing yourself as eight or up to the age of eight and whatever pops into your mind first, and then talking to your inner child and going from the place of what your core being is. And it was, for me, big-heartedness. I'm a big-hearted inspiration. One of the main things people say after they hang out with me is, do you just feel inspired after you hang out with Dr. Amanda? Yes, and it's not even what I would try to do. It's just who I am. And so it's like that thing of creating from a place of inspiration to me is about really knowing who you are and being and doing what you are. And then that is what emanates from your state of being. And that's what gets reflected back to you in whatever reality you're creating. And so it's like inspiration-based manifestation is the most magnetic, the most powerful. Inspiration is such a high vibrational frequency. And for people listening, it's like, do what you enjoy. It's so simple. We make it so hard. We do so many things that we don't enjoy. And then we wonder why we lead lives that are miserable. And it's because we think, oh, I have to do this. So anytime you're doing something you think you have to do, you are already creating resistance. Yeah. So it's like getting up in the morning and go, what feels good? What do I enjoy doing? How can I build a life and a business I love? And just take one step every single day and play with inspiration, play with joy, play with flow and fun and freedom, and be that in the present moment, and then have it attract to you. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's what came to my mind when you asked.
But this is why I'm asking these questions, because they're authentic. And every answer that I receive is different, because everybody's experience is different. Can you give some tips on inspiration that you've learned over the years on how to stay inspired, or derived from the Latin inspirato, in your spirit.
I love that.
It's about you having the awareness that, yes, you're powerful, but you can only create from that authentic center, that spirit center. And most people get sucked into this dense reality of 3D, mm-hmm. and all that I can't, I must, the news, the radio, other people's opinions. Is there anything you can share with the audience that you've learned over your time that you can take and go, this is what I did, and these are the tips that I suggest you to do, you start today, as in pause, make a list, and do them now?
Yeah. This is going to sound, that's my whole business really, is helping people learn how to get inspired. My why statement is that I love to help people get inspired to do what it takes to lead, to transform into the most empowered versions of themselves so they can lead fulfilling lives and businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like that place of, it starts with inspiration. You got to be inspired, and it's a choice. I think that people have often some sort of projected myth in their mind that inspiration happens to people. You create inspiration. You've got to discover your inspiration. It's the unveiling of your soul, right? That's inspiration. It's letting your light shine in the world. And that doesn't just drop in your lap. I don't know anybody who is fulfilled. And when I'm talking fulfilled, I'm not talking like money success or outer appearance of success. I'm talking like deep soul fulfillment, where you wake up every day and you're like, I love my life. And that's a journey of discovery, I think, and steps to take where I started from, because that is definitely not where I started. I've been suicidally depressed before. I have been on food stamps, facing homelessness, broken relationships, abuse history, like all kinds of stuff in my background that I could easily be a miserable person right now. And I chose to do something different and start learning how to lead a life that's inspired. So I love this question you're asking. And it started with shifting my state of being. And for me, that started with learning everything I could from people who were doing it. And what I realized over and over again is, just like I'm saying, it doesn't just happen. They practice daily. It's a daily practice to be a person who lives in a state of joy. It's not something that just magically happens. Once you start attuning to it in your frequency, it starts to attract more things to be joyful. So it gets easier and easier to do every day. And it starts with that initiation of, generally speaking, it starts with a lot of discomfort, because for most people, because we're animals and we live by the pleasure pain principle, we won't change until we're in enough pain to change. Most people don't change easily just by choice if they're comfortable, because we're like, oh, I'm pretty comfortable. It's like the golden handcuffs, right? Like, I'm pretty happy. I'm okay. Life's not that great, but I'm not in enough pain to change. So often it starts from a place of chance, of discomfort. And then you start to recognize, oh, when I meditate, I feel really good. Oh, when I listen to music that I love and create space in my day for just blocks of white space, I feel good. And so a tip, a very practical tip for people, is create what I call an emergency shift list. So write down 10 things that bring you joy, and then make sure that you do them and do energy check-ins. So I set alarms on my phone. I teach my clients to set alarms on their phone that says energy check-in a couple times throughout the day, and they have their emergency shift list. This could be 10 squats in your office. You're shifting your energy. This could be going on a walk around the block. It could be petting your cat. It could be listening to music. It could be whatever brings you joy for a few minutes and gives you a dose of up-leveling your vibrational frequency. You start to reprogram yourself over time. So my inner power formula is recognize, reframe, repeat to reprogram. So number one, recognize. Number two, reframe. Number three, repeat to reprogram. When you do this over time, you start to up-level your vibrational frequency just in little stages over time. And that's all it takes. It's actually that simple. But most people make it this huge, big project, and they create so much resistance around it, and they have a hard time just shifting their energy in the moment. It could be 3 deep breaths. Like right now, if people just take 3 deep breaths, like breathe in and out and in and out. Like, I teach 3 deep breaths to people, and they're like, whoa, I feel completely different after 3 deep breaths. That literally takes 30 seconds. And then you start to reprogram yourself for feeling more inspired and aligned.
I like that. And it's the little steps, the baby step, and building the muscle of repetition over that time period. People say, oh, it takes too long. 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, a long span of time, considering you've got to live with yourself for a minimum of 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
Yeah.
If you put that working now, you're pretty much screwed because you're not looking at a bigger picture. You mentioned earlier you look at a macro, but you're also focused on the micro and day-to-day routines and effective, not just routines, but effective routines that actually work, which is what I love about people like yourself, because a lot of these coaches going into this don't have that knowledge. It's not because they don't are not aware, not willing to go and get it, but they turn up and show up as a coach, as a life coach, as a business coach. But deep down, they've actually got a huge amount of imposter syndrome because they're trying to show up as something modeled by someone else that they've not truly embodied or learned or even built the muscle to do, such as having the awareness of, I'm going to take a pause, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to chill out for 10 minutes, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to reset my day, I'm going to go back to bed for half an hour, meditate, and then get up again. These things work. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to a guest a few weeks ago, and she was in the corporate world for 25 years. She was a fashion model. She was working as a very high level CEO and she was working for Vogue and in that industry. She had a car accident and a deer came through her window screen, completely wiped her out. And she woke up in hospital. She was 8 months in hospital for multiple surgeries. She said to me, she'd never had to be grateful for anything. She didn't physically, mentally, or emotionally know what gratitude was. And then she went deeper in within herself. And a month, 2 months later, around her house, she had 250,000 post-it notes around her house reminding her what to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. Now she speaks on stages and businesses. But for 35 years of her life, nearly, it was just, this is a state of being, this is who I am. Until she had a wake-up call and that gratitude came through. She didn't have any other choice of awareness of, I can be this person, I can do that. And that's the thing that sets people like you apart. You've got that story. You've got the experience to go into that and go, stop what you're doing. You're an absolute numb because you're not seeing a bigger picture. You're focused on the fear, what you don't have, blah, 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 blah. And that's what's creating your reality. That's why I love these conversations. So the global movement of what you're doing is the ripple effect. The ripple effect isn't just we'll throw a stone. It's much, for in your case, it's much bigger than that. This is what I've done myself. And I've been where you are. This is coming from experience and knowledge-based proven techniques that you have acquired to elevate your life and business. That's why I love having these discussions. If there was one person you could have a conversation with, past, present, or equally future, who would it be?
So many people.
Yeah.
I know. I love this. I'm sure you've read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
So I teach people in my program to do a power mastermind committee where they commune with people that are alive. Yeah. As their mastermind committee in a meditation process. And so we just did that this week. And it's like, there's so many brilliant minds and hearts and souls. I'd say one person who's no longer alive, who I haven't gotten to commune with other than in my mind, would be Debbie Ford. So she wrote a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. And she is the person who really mainstreamed the term shadow work from Carl Jung. And she, to me, is one of the most brilliant women, just humans, that just deep soul goodness, you know? So I would love to hang out with her and have some tea and just chat for hours. So, absolutely. Yes, for sure. Abraham Hicks is on my list as well. Yep. Bob Proctor. I never got to hang out with Bob Proctor in person. So that would be nice too.
I've got a friend of mine. She works for, she's one of the CEOs at Disney executives. And she actually had the opportunity to go to New Zealand to see her live. And I haven't had the opportunity to, but she said it changed her entire life.
For Abraham Hicks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her live a couple months ago in Denver. Yeah.
I'm just outside of Boulder, so we're very
close. Funny. I'm in Colorado Springs. I lived in Boulder for 25 years. We didn't really know that about each other. Yeah. Yeah. So I love Boulder.
I'm often down in Elizabeth and in that area, and also Colorado Springs. One of my board members, and I'm on his board as well, he lives in Colorado Springs in Elizabeth. He's a four-star colonel.
That's amazing. I didn't know that about you.
See, it's happened most strangest places. As you see yourself now, where would you like to be in an ideal world you can create in 3 years' time? What's your aspiration for the future?
So many. I'd say my lifetime business goal is to impact a minimum of 5 million people. Mm-hmm. And impact meaning like podcasts, books, getting to work with me in group coaching or in any of the programs that I create in the world. I like what you said about ripple effect, because let's say that I impact 5 million people, those 5 million people then ripple effect that out into the world. And for me, I just go, ooh, when I set that goal at the beginning of my business, it felt huge. I was like, I don't know if this is possible. And now I go, okay, I'm on track for 2024 to have 1 million downloads on my podcast. And I'm like, okay, this is 5 million might've been planned small. So it's just fun to think like, with the way that we can structure business as entrepreneurs and online entrepreneurs, wow, the impact is just phenomenal. And so my lifetime goals, do what I love, be in my zone of genius, help other people do that, and just let that ripple out into the world in whatever way is in the highest good of all, and play from that field.
I love that. And I was about to say, I think with you, with what you're doing in the world, 5 million is very modest because of how you show up. And that's my personal opinion on that. Is there anything you would like to share with the audience that they can go to if you're giving away something? As I said, it's completely your service to you. So if there's a link you want to give, this is somewhere you want to send them. And by the way, are you planning to be an author?
I have a book. Yes. Yes. So if they go, I have many fun things. I don't want to overwhelm people with links. So one that's an absolute must, listen to my podcast, Inner Power Entrepreneur. That's a really great place to get to know me. If you're liking what you heard here today, you'll love the podcast. So Inner Power Entrepreneur podcast. I would say Law of Attraction for Entrepreneurs.com. So Law of Attraction for Entrepreneurs.com. It's the way I play with people every morning to help them get aligned for whatever level of success that they choose. So 7-day free trial, really, I'd say that this is like my heart program. It's all the experience. I have all the knowledge, all the wisdom wrapped up into this program that is just people are loving. So Law of Attraction for Entrepreneurs.com. Yeah, I have a ton of incredible resources for people. So Inner Power Daily is my company. So everything's under innerpowerdaily.com. And they can find the Law of Attraction program, access to me through coaching, free courses, my book, my podcast, like everything I do in the world is housed there. So innerpowerdaily.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd love to add to the audience or to share with anybody before we depart today? We're not parting, but we...
Yeah. I'd say, remember this. I always tell people, this is a universal principle. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. So that's a universal principle. So then I add to this, your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. If you don't like what you're getting on the outside, change what's within. Take radical responsibility and stop blaming the world for where you're at, and instead choose to learn the universal principles that will help you master the game of life and have fun, because now you have a magic wand to create whatever you choose to create consciously and deliberately.
I love that. And I want to thank you, Dr. Amanda, for showing up and spending time with me today. I love this conversation. It's very rare that I find somebody so versed in the energetics and the mechanics for Law of Attraction. As you said earlier, it's a generic buzzword for a lot of people. My advice, if you're listening to this, please go and check Dr. Amanda out and what she's doing in the world. Don't be shy. Give that feedback. Ask her for advice. Entrepreneurs are going, I strongly believe this, they will save the world going forward because of their knowledge, their advice, and their real world experiences. So please go and check her out. And don't be shy. Send her an email. Have a call with her. Have a conversation. For myself, it's been an honor. Thank you very much, Dr. Amanda, for your time, your love, and your energy here. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been pure joy.
For myself, you know what to do, guys. Thank you very much for joining me. Please share, download if you wish. If not, share it with a friend. You may actually change someone's life. For myself, I'm Baz Porter. Live with purpose and inspire with legacy, my friends. Have a blessed day.